Begin the current daven, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Begin 9 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues now and explains the source of the halacha that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Amar B'zeir Amar Rav says, Menayin Lamatna Shechiv Mera. From where do we know regarding the gift of a dying person, which is the halacha that he can make a kinyan to give it over to other people with just his words, even without doing an actual kinyan like a kinyan sudar, where either it would be talking about where he specifically commanded that his gift should take effect because he's dying, as Gemara teaches us later on the Kufnun Alvim Abeis, where you don't need to do a kinyan even if he's not giving away everything, even if he's only giving away partial, where in the case of where he dies, or it could be talking about where a dying person gives away all his properties if he doesn't leave over anything for himself and he dies, where even if he didn't say it was because of death. But it will take effect, like we call the words of the dying person, are like as if they were written and signed and given over. From where do we know, Shehimin Atara, that it's a biblical law. It's a biblical concept. So says Rav, Shenem, like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, says, if a man will have no sons, so the halacha is, Vavartim es nachlosu lebita, so then you pass over his inheritance, which should have gone to his sons, it's given to his daughter. Now, the pasuk could have written, Ish kiyamas, a man who dies, uven einlein, and doesn't have a son, nachlosu lebita, his inheritance goes to his daughter. The word vahavartim is superfluous. Says Rav, yesh lecha avara hacheres sheikazu. So the pasuk is alluding to the fact that there's going to be a situation that will also be passing on to someone else, something that's like this, where in this case, where it's in the domain of the daughter, which is something that took effect without a kinyan, it was automatic, there is something else, and that's what the extra word havara comes to teach, that will also be just like that, that'll be given over to someone else, even without an actual kinyan. Ve'ezazu, in what case is that? Zumat nashchimra. That's the gift of the dying person, which we know is a biblical halacha being alluded to in the word vavartim. It can be given over without an actual kinyan. Menachem amar Rabbi Baravua mehacha. He brings a different source, a pasuk that actually the next pasuk that says that if let's say he doesn't have a daughter either, so then it says unesatim es nachlos le'echav. So you give his inheritance to his brother, which is also superfluous, because the pasuk could have said, "Ve'im ein loy bas, he doesn't have a daughter, nachlos le'achav, his inheritance goes to his brother." What's the extra word, unesatim? And that says, the Gemara, yesh lochan nesina acher shikazu. There's another giving over to someone else that's just like this, which is also automatic. There's no kin that's given to his brother. It's upon his death that that's his closest inheritor. So it's automatic, ve'ezazu. What's also something that can be given to someone else without a kinyan? Zumat nashchimra. That's referring to the gift of the dying person. Now, ask the Gemara in each opinion, Rav Nachman, my time alamek mehavartim. Why didn't he bring it from the same pasuk, from the first pasuk of from vavartim? And that says the Gemara, humi boile, look at the Rebbe. He says that that word is necessary to teach a different halacha, that of what Rebbe had taught. The Tanakh Luna Braisa. Rebbe Aimer, he says, Bekulan nemer behen nesina. Regarding all the different levels of inheritance, it always used the term of giving. Mekan, for some reason over here, when it talks about when the daughter inherits the father, nemer havar, use a different word of passing over. And that teaches Rebbe, because ein locha shemaver nachal meshevet leshevet elabas, there is no one that inherits that will be passing over the inheritance from one tribe to another tribe, besides the case of the daughter. And the reason for that is, and that's what it's teaching is, hoyilu b'no abaylam, since her son and her husband, who are from a different tribe, yerushanoisa, they inherit. And that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. That vavartim es nachlosi, that is, she's going to transfer the inheritance from the tribe of the one who passed away through his daughter who's going to inherit him, because maybe she's going to marry another, a man from a different tribe and she's going to die and either the husband or the son's going to inherit her. That's why it says vavartim, and that's actually what the pasuk is teaching us, that the son and the husband inherit the wife. So therefore he couldn't learn that from vavartim. So the Gemara says, Reb Zeira, my time will be in the Satim. Reb Zeira, why didn't he learn from the Satim? Why did he learn from Vavartim? And that says the Gemara, because Orchid de Krahu, he says, no, that's a normative way of the Pasuk saying it, that Unisatim is nachlos elachav, as we find that it always used the term of giving. And therefore, it's not superfluous to say that should allude to the halacha of Shchimra. Now, a different source, of Menashe by Yirmiyam Mahach, he brings a third source, a Pasuk in Malachim Beis. It says, Bayam and Mahim in those days, Chalit Chizkiyo Lamas. Chizkiyo became ill towards death. Bayave love Yeshayo ben Ometz HaNavi. Bayame love, and the Navi Yeshayo came to him and said to him, Koyamar Hashem. This is what Hashem said. Tzav Leveischa, I want you to command your household, which this is the source that we see that Tzavo Shchimra, the commanding of the dying person, even just by orally telling them, is going to be a valid kinyan. where Hashem is saying you should command your house, kimeis ata, because you're going to die, but like tichei, and you're not going to live, which is what we see from the pasuk, b'tzavah ba'alma, just by commanding that what he's going to say is going to go through, that's halacha of dirish chimra k'ksuvinik misurim dami. Rabbi Ba'yecheskel amim halacha, he brings a fourth source, that in a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Says Vachitayful Ra Kilinasa Saatsasa. Chitayful saw that his counsel was not successful. Vayachvesh as chamar, so he girdled his donkey, and as the pasuk says, Vayakam, he got up. Vayelch el Beisai el Ira, he went to his house, to his city. Vayitzav el Beisai Vayichonik. He commanded his house regarding his affairs, and he choked himself. Where we see that it was just by commanding, Bitzav Abba Alma, that just telling them those are going to be taken effect as if the kinyan was done. Tanabon, a related discussion, the Gemara brings in the Brais that Shleisha Dvarm Tziva Achitevel is Banav. There are actually three things that we have a tradition that Achitevel had commanded his sons when he was dying. Al Tiyu B'machlekes, don't get involved in disagreements. Val Timradu B'malchus Beis David, and don't rebel against the reign of the Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of the house of David, because it didn't work out well for him. And the Yomtov Shel Atzeres, regarding the Yomtov of Atzeres, which is Shavuos, if you see that bar, that it's clear and it's not a cloudy day, then Zarachitim, you should plant wheat because that's going to be successful in that year. Now, Mazutram, he actually says the Bol Itmar. It was actually said that if it's a cloudy day, which is like mixed up, then it's going to be successful. Now, Amrinar, Doi, Mishmid, Reb Yaakov, they actually say that no. Loi bar bar mamish, it's not that it has to be really clear, neither that it should be really cloudy, ella afila bol, but rather it was said that even if it was cloudy, but v'ruach tzavainis min hashavasai, and the northern wind was blowing at it, which that will clear the clouds away, zehu bar, that's also considered a clear day, which has the good omen that it's going to be a successful year for planting wheat. Now, however, Amalei Rav Abba l'Ravashi says, Anan, us, we actually have a different sign regarding the grain, if it's going to be successful or not. Actually, us, Adarav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Masninla, we actually rely on the teaching of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, which is regards to the sign that will be on Sukkot, on Shemini Atzeres time, which is actually by Sukkot is when they get judged on the water, which will tell us regarding the irrigation of the lands, and not regarding the sign that was said by Achitayvel, that regarding the signs of Shavuos. Which, because the Amr of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi had said, Matzah Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag, the last day after the end of the Yom Tov Sukkot, which is after Shemini Atzeres, Hakol Tzeifen La'ashad HaMarocha. All the people gaze towards the smoke that's coming out of the pyre, the fire on top of the Mizbeach. And what they look at is as follows. Not the Klapit Tzeifen, because it usually goes straight up. So they say, if it's leaning towards the north, that means the southern wind is blowing at it, which is making it lean towards the north. Then, anim smeichim ubali batim atzeven. So then the paupers are happy, and the homeowners, the one who have the land, they're sad. Why? Because that's going to mean that there's going to be a lot of rain that year. Uperis markiven, and that's going to cause the produce that's already there to rot. And since they can't hold on to it, they're going to have to sell it off at a cheap price, which is going to be a loss for them and a gain for the poor people. Not the klapidar, if the smoke pile is leaning towards the south, which means to say that the northern wind is blowing at it. So the poor are sad, and the wealthy people are happy. Because that means to say it's going to be very little rain that year. And that means to say that the produce is going to be safeguarded, because with those rain, they're going to have enough rain to plant the produce of that year. And also, it's not going to ruin the produce that's stored away in the storehouses, and they'll still be able to charge their high prices, which is a gain for the wealthy, and which is sad for the poor people. Now, not the klapi mizrach, if the smokestack was leaning towards the east, hakol smeichen, actually everyone was happy, because the western wind actually brings an exact amount of rain which is necessary, which the produce is not going to be too expensive, nor too cheap, so everyone's happy. Klapi mayrev, if it's leaning towards the west, hakol etzeven, actually everyone is sad, because the eastern wind actually stops the rain totally, which brings hunger and famine, which brings very high inflation for prices, and the produce of the ground do not sprout, so that's not good for anybody. Now, but one thing we see from this brisa, which is a totally different sign, is that the western wind is harsh, and the eastern wind is harsh, and the western wind is good. Now, that the Gemara asks Bermini. But the Gemara asks from the following brisa, which seems to say the exact opposite. This brisa says, Mizrach is la'olam yafa. The eastern wind is always good, the opposite of the other one which said it's harsh. And Marav is la'olam kasha, and the western wind is always harsh. So that's the contradiction. But then the brisa continues, Ruach tzafainis, a northern wind, yafal lechitim, is good for wheat. B'shor shevi shlish, if it already had grown a third already, because at that point already it doesn't need rain. But v'kosh lezeisim b'shor sheyenitzu, but that's harsh for olives at the time when they're developing the part, the outer husk on the outside of the olive. And the reverse is true, v'ruach deraimis, the southern wind, kosh lechitim b'shor shevi shlish, is harsh for wheat that already had brought a third, v'yafal lezeisim b'shor sheyenitzu, but it's actually good for olives at the time when it's producing its nates. V'amar v'yesev, and v'yesev said v'yitem, and some say it was marzera, v'yitem, and some say Rav Nachman Yitzchak said b'simonech, and in a mnemonic to remember which one, the northern south, is good for one and bad for the other, and the opposite is true in the other one, is to recall by the memory of Shulchan Mitzafen. The Shulchan, the table that had the Lechem Aponim on it, which was in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Pasuk says, V'ashulchan tit na'tzel atzafen, it was in the northern part, u'menorah bedar. And the menorah was in the southern part, as the Pasuk says, V'ashamenorah noichich ha'shulchan, the menorah was on the opposite of the Shulchan. So that teaches us, Haimar b'didei v'haimar b'didei, that each one made its one grow, meaning the bread, which is wheat, was on the table, which is in the north. And as we said, the northern wind is good for wheat. The olive oil, which is what we like, the menorah, which is in the south, teaches us that because the south wind was good for the olives. But one thing the Gemara's question is, as we mentioned before, is the east and western winds. It seems to be contradiction in these two brises, which one is good and which one is the bad one. Which the Gemara says, loikash is not a difficulty. Halon. For us, who we live in Bavel, which was a very swampy land and it was very moist, you don't want to have rain. They don't need it. It was very moist. So to us, that's what the second Bryce was teaching, that the western wind was harsh, because since the western wind brings a lot of rain, more than what's necessary for those in Bavel, so that's bad, but the eastern wind that doesn't bring the rain is good for us because we don't want rain. But the first Bryce that taught the opposite was Lahu for those in Eretz Yisrael, where their land is very high and they need a lot of rain. So to the contrary, the west is good because that brings the rain, and the east, which does not, is bad. Tanya Lindner Breisach, continuing on this theme, Abishalim, where he says, Yom Tov Shel Atzeres Bar, if you have the Yom Tov Shavuos, which is clear day, Simen Yafal L'chol HaShana Kula, it's a good sign for the whole entire year. On Rav Zvid, he says, Hayyei Mekama D'Reshata, this first day of the year, that of Rosh Hashanah, Ichamim, if it's a warm day, Kula Shata Chamima, the whole year, meaning the majority of the year is going to be warm, Ikar, if it's cold, Kula Shata Kriya, the majority of the year is going to be cold. So ask the Gemara L'mayin Nafkamin, for what halachic relevancy, why do we need meteorologists over here? What's the difference if it's going to be hot or cold? And that says the Gemara, as we continue to Yom Beis, is the Tfilasi Shal Kohen Gadol. It's for the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. He would daven, and once a year go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and daven right when they would come out, that the year, if it's going to be hot, should be rainy, which means to say that it is relevant, and that's for his prayer. Now that he sees what the weather is like in Rosh Hashanah, accordingly he's going to daven Yom Kippur, so it's important to know what the year is going to be like for him to know what to daven on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara actually goes back, although we had four different sources that were saying proof that the halacha of Shchimera, that his gift is valid, even though he doesn't do a kinyan, is biblical. The Rav Amar of Nachman, he brings that actually Matna Shchimera, the gift of a dying person, who we said that a kinyan could take effect just with his words, is actually not biblical. And all the psukim that were brought previously were just good counsel, which they were being told, and that's what they were doing, to tell their household what to do when they die, based on what they were telling them. Whether if it was through a kinyan, or if he was just saying things that don't need a kinyan, where a person just notifies his household who owes him money, and who's where his stuff, and whose possession are his stuff. And actually, says Rava, that it's actually midrabana ba'almei. It's actually only a rabbinic halacha that it's going to be working as a kinyan. Why? There was no actual kinyan done. It's a concern that Shema, maybe, if you have to wait until witnesses are going to come to see and to finalize the kinyan, that maybe titarev daitoi, the ill person, his consciousness, is going to start becoming harsh on him. On him before the people come, and he's not going to end up being able to make the kinyan, and it's going to come out what he wants to command is not going to go through. Now, but actually, moreover, Rashbam says that that's actually why the Rabbanan made the takana, that it should work with just his words, is because if it's not going to be a valid kinyan, we're concerned that it might actually cause detriment to his health because of the pain that he's in. He knows, oh, I'm not going to be able to get what I really want moving on to the next world with all his assets. And that's going to cause him to deteriorate speedily. So because of his health, we actually instituted, oh, biblically, it's not really a valid kinyan. It's going to be rabbinically. Now, that the Gemara says, "Miyomer Rav Nachman Hachi." Rabbi said this halacha over Nimer Rav Nachman. Did Rav Nachman really say that it's rabbinic and it's not a biblical law? But Rav Nachman had said, "Avagav da Meshmul." Rav Nachman said the following teaching. He says, even though Shmuel said that a meichish star chayiv, if someone sells a document of a debt, which a borrower owed to this lender money, and the lender went and gave over this document to someone, a consumer, and he sold him this document, lechaveri, to his friend, and he wrote in it that you should acquire this document with all its liens, or actually, as the Gemara there paskins, that what's called oisis niknis ben mesira, letters, which is what a document is acquired just by giving it over to that person. So he gave him and sold him this document. But then the chazer, then the seller went, who he's the lender, he went, and umachala, after he had already sold the document, he went and he forgave the borrower the debt that was owed to him, which he sold that debt to someone else. Says Shmuel, machal. That is, it is forgiven and there's no more debt. And the reason for that is because whatever this lender sold to that other person, he only sold them whatever rights the lender himself has. In other words, the consumer is not better than the lender who he's coming from his rights. And since the lender forgave the debt, the consumer who bought from the lender cannot go ahead and collect the debt anymore. But as Rashbam points out, obviously the lender would have to compensate the consumer, because that's the halacha that we judge what's called dina de garmi, which in an indirect way he caused a loss to the consumer. It's like burning up someone else's documents where you didn't actually burn up his stuff, but now that he has no proof, he has no way of collecting it, where there is going to be a liability over there. But it is a mechila. And vafili yairish. And even the inheritor of the lender, if he goes ahead, is also going to be meichel. He also can forgive the debt, which is based on logic, because the strength of the consumer, which was that he was given over the document of the loan, that to have the rights to be able to collect with it, is no better than the lender or the inheritor, because the debt really is still owed to the lender. As the pasuk says, Eved Leibel Ishmalva, the borrower is only indebted to the lender. Now, the lender could go ahead and give over that debt to someone else, but the borrower owes to the lender. And therefore, the lender, and so to his inheritors of that debt, could be meichelit even though it was sold to a consumer. Now, that was the halacha of Shmuel. So Rav Nachman said, even though Shmuel said this halacha, but he said that Maida Shmuel, Shmuel agrees, and this is the contrast, although a person could usually be meichel a shtar chayv that he sold to someone else, but she'im nesanoi, that if the lender went and gave to another person this loan that was owed to him, with the gift of a dying person, where Rashbam gives a few different options, either in the case of when he gives away all his assets, which is automatically always considered matnash chimra, or through a kinyan, like every dying person's gift that's done partially that you need to have a kinyan, or even if it's not with a kinyan, but since he gave it over when he was still alive, there's no greater kinyan than that. But in those situations, if he would get up, it would go back to him. If he had given a full-fledged matnash chimra, as the Gemara tells us later on, that's the unique halacha, as we said in our Mishnah previous daf, if he gave it all away, it's obvious because he's dying. But what Rav Nachman says, Shmuel would agree, if he gave it away as matnash chimra, the eina yachal amachloi, that subsequently, he cannot go ahead and forgive that debt. And the reason for that is, as the Gemara will tell us later, because divrish chimra, the words of a dying person, are kiksub nekumasurun dami. It's like it was written and it was already given over. And therefore, it's actually better than the gift of a healthy person, where a healthy person, although he sold it, he could still be meichlid. Here in this case, the inheritors cannot go ahead and be meichlid. That was what Rav Nachman said that Shmuel would agree to, although usually they could be meichlid. In this case, they cannot be meichlid. And that, says the Gemara, I amid bishlemid deraisa, so if you say that, and that Rav Nachman was agreeing to the concept, that the halacha of shchimra, that his gift is a biblical halacha, that's why they cannot be forgiving of the debt, because it's not, biblically it's not theirs anymore. But if you say it's only rabbinic law, meaning according to biblical law, it's still really owned by the dead man's property, then amayin yochel imchel. So then why cannot be meichel? Meaning rabbinically we say that, okay, we'll give it to the one that he said to give it to because we don't want them to deteriorate mentally. But biblically it's still there, so why can't they be meichel? And therefore why would Shmuel agree in that case? So that seems to contradict what Rav had said in the name of Nachman, that's only rabbinic and not biblical. So that the Gemara says, no. Eina shel Torah. It is the way Rav had said in the name of Nachman. Really, it's not a biblical law. It's really only rabbinic. However, v'asur kishel Torah. However, the rabbis went and classified and qualified this halacha with the same qualifications as biblical law, And as we said before, because they wanted him to be sure, don't worry, what you said is done. Don't worry. Even though biblically it's not like that, but it's just like biblical law. You said it, it's already that person's. And therefore, that's where Nachman said it for in the name that Shmuel would agree that, yeah, you can't back out. When we can't back out, it's only rabbinic law. Biblically, I still own it. No. The rabbis made it like biblical law that it's already a done deal. So therefore, that's like both halachas are of Nachman, that it is rabbinic, but in halacha, it's like biblical law. Now, however, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, he says the following teaching. He says, Shchim Rasha Amar, regarding a dying person that says, Yadr Ploini Bibayisa, let's say, and he's qualifying now the extent of the halacha of Shchim Rav, that if let's say he says that this person should live in this house, he's giving away all the stuff. Or he says, Yichol Ploini Peris Dekalzeh, that person should eat the fruits of this tree. Says Rav, the name of Nachman, Lo Yamar Klum. He hasn't said anything. Now, the reason for this is because dwelling is not a substantive thing. It's not something you could touch to be maknid. So too, the fruits of a tree, since they're not around yet, a person cannot be maknid of a shlebeloyim, somebody that's not around anymore. Now, since a healthy person, if he wanted to give these things, even if he actually made a real kinyan, like a kerchief, kinyan sudr, a chalipin, it would not be a kinyan, because you cannot acquire merely what's called words. What are you giving over? You're giving him the ability to live in this house? You're not giving him a house, you're giving him to live in a house. That's not a substantive thing. It's only if he would acquire to him an actual object. For example, if he gives him the tree for its fruits, so he's giving him the tree for that element. Or he gives him the house to live in. Oh, so then the gift of the dying person would also work, but however, in the case where he's only giving over the dwelling or something that's not around, so just like it wouldn't work by a healthy person, it doesn't work by a dying person either. And the reason for that is because whatever is not it would not work by a kinyan of a regular person, doesn't work neither by the kinyan of a dying person. Because a dying person is not stronger in kinyanim than a healthy person. The only difference is that we consider the words of a dying person to take the place of a kinyan of a healthy person. But where a kinyan would not work by a healthy person, so the words of a dying person also doesn't help. And therefore doesn't work until he says, give this house to that person for the element of living over there. So he's giving something of an object. Or give this tree to that person and then he could eat its fruits. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Lememr, is that to say this of Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman holds that the strength of a dying person is not bigger than a healthy person who gives a regular gift, and rather that Milsa de Asi Babari, it's only something that is by a regular healthy person, Isa Beshchimra applies to a dying person, to Lesa Babari, Lesa Beshchimra, and whatever does not apply to a healthy person does not apply to a dying person, and the only difference is that his words will be a kinyan, just like the kerchief is a kinyan for a healthy person. But on that, as the Gemara from a different teaching, from Va'amar, Rav Rav Nachman, Rav Asen, Rav Nachman, as a kitzeh tap of Kofim Chasim and Aleph, that says as follows, Shchim Rasha Amar, a dying person that says, Tnu halva asi, give my loan, meaning the money that borrower owes me money, which was an oral loan that he owes me, I want you to give it leplain, to that person. In other words, that the borrower should pay up that person in my stead. So the halacha is valid, and it's going to be halva asi leplaini, the loan is now owed to that person. So on that, ask the Gemara, v'afagav d'lesa b'bari, and that's in spite of the fact that would not work by a healthy person if he would dictate that, because a person cannot be makna to his friend, a milvapel, or alone, which he can't even be makna those coins, because the coins that he gave to the borrower, Allah hitzanin, were given to be used up, they're the borrowers. So what's he giving to that person? There's nothing substantive over there, because a kinyan could only take effect on something that you could see, and you could touch, and you could feel. For example, like a recorded loan in a document, where then he could give him over the actual document. Or, as we'll shortly see, if he gave it to him b'may mitzlushin, which is a unique exception. But here, where you wouldn't be able to do by a healthy person, and yet we see that it is going to work by a shchimra, so that seems to contradict this concept that we just said before from Rav Amar Rav Nachman. So that says the Gemara, no, it's not a contradiction. Yes, Rav Nachman holds that shchimra is not better and cannot do things that a regular healthy person cannot do with his own kinyan. But Rav Papam, he explains, Hoyel v'yerish yersha. Since an heir, an inheritor, would inherit this loan, even though it's an oral loan, and it's considered as if it's in his domain, now the Gemara tells us on the next daf that the gift of a dying person, the rabbi is considered in the same framework as inheritance. So therefore, since this law applies that it could be given over through inheritance, so therefore it would apply also to the matnas chibmara. You're right, it can be better than what other kinyonim are, but you're right, a healthy person couldn't do it, but since it would work through a healthy person or regular case of inheritance, so that's why it works by matnas chibmara. But in something which is not by Yerusha, then you're right, a chibmara cannot be any better than a matnas bari. Or another answer the Gemara says, Rav Acha Barid, Rav Ika Amar, he says, no, halva isa b'bari. This halacha of giving over an oral loan to someone else does apply to a healthy person. How so? He says, if someone tells someone else, mana li b'yatcha, there's a mana, 100 zuz of mine that you have, meaning that you owe me, you're my borrower, but don't pay me back. Tanei will plainly give it to that person, b'may mitchloshen, and he says this when all three of them are present. The borrower, the lender, and the one that the lender wants to give it to. The halacha is kana. That recipient acquires it even without a kinyan. So you see that there is a precedent that applies even by a bari, by a regular healthy person. And that's why it's going to work by shchimra, which, because this is one of those three halachas that we mentioned on the previous daf that are called hilchas of leitaima, who in halacha they don't really make sense. And since it's something, however, that is common amongst merchants and storekeepers, so they instituted that, yes, you can go ahead and do a kinyan with just words, b'may mishlosh in the presence of all three of them, even though usually, yes, a kinyan only works by something that's you can have with the five senses. And the Gemara in Gittin says that would apply both by a loan, which is what we're discussing, and by a deposit. Now, but Rashbam just concludes that although our Gemara does conclude like we had assumed from Rav Nachman, that something that does not apply by a bari, does not apply by shchimra, even so, coins, money, which the Gemara actually in Bava Metzia in Perek Zav tells us that matbei cannot be nikna b'chalipin, but even so, it would be acquired by matna shchimra because of the same reason that we're saying over here, where he could say, halva asa l'plaini, money that's owed to me should go to that person, which we just described based on two different answers in the Gemara, why that would work. That would be the same thing regarding money, and therefore the Gemara resolves that it's not a contradiction, that Rav Nachman does hold, however, that the matnas chibmara is not any better in kinyanim than a bari. It's just that the bari, the healthy person, needs to do an actual kinyan, whereas the chibmara, his words are like the kinyan.